So tönt der Klacks. Oder auch so. Wenn ein Klecks bleibt, kann aus dem Fleck auch ein Bild entstehen. Plötzlich sieht man vertraute Formen und dichtet sich etwas zusammen. Es gibt bestimmte Kleckse, die sind gespiegelt. Faltbilder sozusagen. Die heissen Klecksografien. Die entstehen nicht einfach nur, sondern werden gemacht und verwendet, um Menschen zu kategorisieren zum Beispiel. Der Rorschach-Test. Der Rorschach-Test ist ursprünglich ein experimentelles Hilfsmittel zur differenzialdiagnostischen Untersuchung bei der Anamneseerhebung psychopathologischer Krankheitsbilder. Heute ein psychodiagnostisches Testverfahren. Der Rorschach-Test besteht aus 10 Tafeln mit Tintenklecksen. 5 Tintenkleckse sind schwarz, 2 schwarz-rot, 3 bunt. Die 10 Tafeln werden der Testperson in einer bestimmten Reihenfolge gezeigt mit der Frage: Was könnte das sein? Die Antworten werden protokolliert und nach formalen Kriterien ausgewertet. Ziel ist es, aus den unbewussten Antworten Schlüsse auf die gesamte Persönlichkeit zu ziehen. Ziel ist es, Menschen zu lesen. Ziel ist es, in Köpfe zu sehen. Der Rorschach-Test hat der Schweizer Hermann Rorschach entwickelt und 1921 veröffentlicht. Hermann Rorschach starb ein Jahr später. Deshalb gibt es keine ausgearbeitete Theorie. Der Rorschach-Test ist umstritten.
The black borders was not ideal, because especially if you're a paranoid schizophrenic, it might make you think of death notice and you might just get like locked into that. So he didn't want it with a border like that. So the current one you'll see has it's just white. There's no edges. All of the numbering and information is on the back, which he also said is very important because, you know, some obsessive person, if they see a number on the card, it kind of ruins the whole thing of it just being this mysterious thing and sort of turns it back into being, oh, why is this doctor testing me?
Die 10 Originalklecksografien sind im Hermann Rorschach Archiv im Medizinhistorischen Institut vor Uni Bern am Bühlplatz. Dort haben sich die 12 Künstlerinnen und Künstler, die 12 Fellows vor Sommerakademie, am ersten Tag versammelt und sich die Kleckse mal genauer angeschaut.
I always see it like a nose. It could easily be orangutan, maybe. A monkey. You know, like a. It was like a pink nose, white, just missing some whiskers.
I see 2 bears checking ants, like having a A5.
That's a good one. Could also be elephants.
Oh, yeah.
Circus.
Yeah.
Trunk. I don't like to analyze it too far, because then.
Yeah.
Die Kleckse. Die verformen sich, nehmen neue Formen an, entwickeln sich, werden Gedanken oder klingen zum Beispiel. Sechs Tage nach der Klecks-Show im Hermann Rorschach Archiv hocke ich mit 2 Fellows im Tomatenhäusli vom Botanischen Garten.
I am Audrey Cotin and I'm from France, but I live and work in Belgium, in Brussels. I mainly work in collaboration, which involved different kind of people according to the project, to the context, to the budget, and to desires, of course. So it can be any kind of specialist or unspecialist person. The last thing I did was the Operating Theatre 5, And I'm working now on the Operating Theatre 6. Operating Theatre is a live stream project. So it's part pre-recorded material and part live event. So it's a visual piece happening for an audience, a meeting between the industry and sciences. First of all, Operating Theatre is an ancient way of opening a body in medical science that was mainly done in kind of universities, in those round amphitheater. So it was for students but also curious people. So the body was lying on a table according to what was needed to be learned and seen through this body. It could be live or could be dead. So the idea with Operating Theatre is also to open up within a very specific, specialized context, but to bring also an unspecialized view on it. So to try to open up the matter of the specialists. Everything you see in a film is actually an interpretation of one of the established protocols to map the brain to what they call thought identification. So idea of having a complete map of the brain. So Operating Theatre also asks for ethics.
I'm Morten Norby Halvorsen, and I'm an artist based in Berlin, from Norway originally. I work mainly with, you know, sound, film. It's kind of a very mixed practice, but essentially always in collaboration with often other people or the location, which in terms of filming and soundtracks and field recordings, always kind of working with other people, and especially with like bands, so it doesn't have any like fixed outcome or anything. I do lots of field recordings. In terms of thinking of music, I spend a lot of time recording different, you know, areas in nature, mountains, rivers, like animals, but like coming back to it over a year and recording it and then thinking of them, like layering them on top, like the different seasons and different times of days, and it really becomes this nice sequence. I thought we could have like a little jingle, since we're in this like tomato house. This is. No, it's a bit rave though. I don't normally do it, but this actually just emulates a sampler that I would use before, like a kind of standard MPC. If I get stuck, I just sit down and make some that kind of stuff. Oh, anyway, I just use it to sketch out some drum beats or anything. Because I do actually, one of the things, the last things I've been working on have been this concert with a band that I have called Concert. And the first album is called Behave Like an Audience, and now we're in this kind of difficult patch where we're trying to make the second album, It's always very tricky. It's a band with two other artists, visual artists. One's called Chris Evans, and who plays the bass, and Benjamin Serrer, who does the keyboard, guitar, and singing. So we met last time in Berlin in a nice studio. We basically like got quite stuck, but we managed to find some amazing loops. So we've recorded like, you know, layers and layers of kind of synthesizer riffs and drum beats and bass lines. But now that I've been listening back to them, I realize they all work together. So now I'm trying to like arrange them into songs. So that's what I'm working on now. Yeah, that will be premiered in the Liverpool Biennial's public program in September called The Companion. So it's worth checking out.
Quite dense, but also relaxed, and then this relaxed density generates a lot of space to encounter, to talk, to exchange, and to share. So that's a very good biotope, let's say a good environment for a certain amount of people to meet. Everything is facilitated to generate a meeting. And I'm interested, of course, in the meeting, because the meeting can go beyond the Summer Academy. So I'm curious to see what the second phase will be. We are like in a garden all yeah. together, and literally in the garden of Bern, yeah. in the botanic garden. So we are digging, or either to put a plant in the ground or just to look at what is in the ground. So we don't know yet what will happen from this digging 10 days.
I can't really point out any like singular things, but the very last thing we went to see was a brief tour around the Parquet Editions new show, which is pieces from the whole 95 editions that they've made. But before the show was opening, and so we got to see it completely unlabeled and scattered around the room, which was very nice. And Jacqueline guided us through it. Parquet is a magazine, art magazine, based in Zurich, and Jacqueline is the founder yeah. of this. That was literally the last thing we did, and that was pretty good. But I think everything's been pretty amazing.
Yesterday was quite amazing, because we get to go as well before Parquet. We get to go to Givaudan and add a view, a very large spectrum on all the activities of the company. Yeah, it was a dual feeling for me. Givaudan is specialized in creating fragrance and aromas, smells and odors. Dual because it's interesting. If I had to film it for operating theater, I could make an operating theater in Givaudan, and the dissection of like of this body, which is the company and all its members, I would be actually very curious to go there and to dissect, to understand better what is the intention and why nature is not efficient enough. And why do we need those fragrances? Why do we need aromas? They create fragrance for perfumes and aromas for food. And what else?
I think basically it's in pretty much everything we use, like from shampoo to luxury perfumes to the smell of the leather seat in the middle class car, like everything.
But it has to be said, we met also a great guy called Roman Kaiser. He's a biologist, mountaineering guy, traveled around looking for species of flowers that he could then take the scent from the flower and distill it down to the, or extract the kind of molecules that make up the smell, and then being able to synthesize it.
Yeah, he has been starting this project that Givaudan was agreed to support in 2000, and it was looking for species endangered, so looking at what is actually going to disappear potentially in those coming years, and
kind of recorded the smells of these endangered species around the world, which was based also on a book that was called
The Vanishing Flora, no?
Yeah, The Vanishing Flora, that's what it's called. Yeah. The kind of way of describing the smells and the perfumes, yesterday we kind of, we saw a lot of similarities with the way you project in the tests of Rorschach.
Audrey spielt mit den Sinnen, Morten mit Tönen. Beide arbeiten vor allem mit anderen Leuten zusammen. Beide sind Teil der diesjährigen Sommerakademie. Beide wollen HR Hermann Rorschach den Rorschach-Test weitertragen. Und beide beobachten, wie eine Biene in diesem Tomatenhäuschen versucht, ein anderes Biene aus einem Spinnennetz zwischen den Tomaten zu befreien. Weil es das alleine nicht schafft, setzen die beiden zu einer heroischen Rettungsaktion an.
I'm just wondering, because there is a bee that is
stuck
in a spider. What should we do?
Wow. I think someone should film it at least, because it's really, like...
It's dramatic.
It's dramatic, and there's another one hovering next.
But it's trying to help, actually. You did not saw, like, she's, like, beating her to try to get her out.
Well, I don't know how this could sound on radio, but it could be interesting to try and save a bee on radio.
Yes, let's do that. We might need a stick.
Right, I'll... Because it's on the radio, we've got to make it sound like for the...
For a visual... Okay, ready?
Okay.
Is she's good now? Oh. Be careful. I think she's full of spider. Is she fine?
Come on, bee. There, look.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it. Sorry, spider.
I'll be for you. Thank you.
so würde mein Lieblingskleck stöhnen, aber bis zur nächsten Sommerakademie hat sich der in den Köpfen der 12 Fellows bestimmt wieder verformt. In einen Duft zum Beispiel oder doch in eine Performance?